Hi, it's Diane, and it is Wednesday. I have no idea. It's like October 16th, I think. I'm here with the 3 o'clock group, and today we're talking about activating the brain. So far, we have Lisa, Gail, Melanie, and Kathleen. So let's start with celebrations and check-ins. And if you don't mind, because we have a few new folks on the call, and I'm sure there's new folks that are listening, because we've got a bunch of new folks that started in the last month. If you could just, when you introduce yourself, and celebrate, to say who you are, where you live, and kind of age of your kiddo, I think would be the easiest thing. So who wants to start us with celebrations and check-ins?
Well, Melanie here. I live in Michigan. I have a 9-year-old as my challenging kiddo, fourth grade. And my celebration is we got the medication adjustment we wanted last week, and it is doing what we wanted it to do, which is activating the brain.
Yay! Congratulations. I know that feels good.
Yes. Very, very happy about that.
Awesome. Who else?
This is Lisa.
Gail.
Go ahead, Gail. So, Gail and then Lisa.
Okay. We last week kind of narrowed down that I would just take aim on Alex, my son, who's 8 years old. Sorry, I live in Chicago, and my son is 8. We would just focus on him getting up in the morning. That was it, just waking up. And he's been doing great with that. He has a motivating thing that he wants to get up for. And this morning he was like, I wanted to make sure I got up, so I had my me time. So, yay.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's awesome. How did it feel to kind of narrow in and just take aim on one part of the step of morning?
I liked it. It felt like taking the pressure off of it having to be so many things to evaluate to see if we got somewhere. I liked that very much.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations. Okay. Lisa, what about you?
Yes, I live in Blacksburg, Virginia, and I have a 6-year-old. And my celebration is, one, we also got our medication fixed, which is helping his behavior at school. But another huge celebration was I read the Parenting ADHD Now book in one weekend. I took 12 pages of notes. I cut them down to 6 pages of notes as best as I could, and I gave them to his teacher, who faithfully read them and came back to me and said, this helps me understand your son so much more.
Oh, that is so awesome. And I don't know, Lisa, let's follow up and figure out kind of a great way to share some of what you did. Elaine probably needs you as an editor because she's writing another book right now. But it is this sort of struggle to figure out how to best share that information with teachers. And if you were able to take that and go, these are the few things that are most important for my kiddo, that sounds like a really powerful thing. And I'm like, my brain is so analytical, but I'm like, oh, there's got to be a way to create some kind of something that parents could use to cut and paste or copy or whatever else. So thanks
for
sharing that.
Well, yes, that's what I did. I literally just typed every paragraph that I thought pertained to him, and then I tried to cut it down as best as I could because I know they don't have time to read all day long. And she said it was so helpful.
Wow. Paragraph. Form. I might follow up with you on this because I think it's just a brilliant
idea.
That's fine. And
yes.
Anyway, so thank you for that. Cool. Kathleen, what about you? What are you celebrating this week?
Well, we're feeling very happy because we got a teacher for my son this year who she's very accommodating for him, and she has a lot of good ideas that seem to be helping him out a lot. So he seems to feel like he has a good relationship with her already this year, and that's been a lot of help for him.
Awesome. Okay. Kevin, how old is your kid?
He's 7. Yeah, and I'm in Michigan also.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to loop back through, and before we start talking about activating the brain, I want to do the taking aim step. So that's the second thing we do after checking in. And so if anybody wants help taking aim and figuring out how to be more specific and to answer, Gail, maybe your question is, are you going to be taking on something new or do you keep taking aim on the same one you took aim on last week? I mean, the answer is it depends, and you can absolutely continue to take aim on what you've been taking aim on, or you can tweak it or adjust it or take a break from it. It just depends on kind of where you are in terms of taking action and rinsing and repeating and those sorts of things. So let's just loop back around and figure out where everybody's taken aim. And again, if you want me to help you figure it out, I'm more than happy to do that. So Melanie, you want to kick us off with that?
Yeah, I thought I was free from taking aim on mornings, but I think I need to go back there. Margaret has started last night. She got upset about something. No need to get into what, but she's like, I'm so mad at you. I'm not going to school tomorrow. I particularly remember that this morning, but this morning she looked at the clock 20 minutes before the bell and said, there's no way I'm going to be on time for school today, and I don't rush. And then
right.
She said, I don't believe in going to school on time. So at the one hand, I have to celebrate that she actually was aware enough to realize that 20 minutes wasn't going to get her from where she was to ready for school. And on the other hand, we clearly have our work cut out for us around, you know, values around showing up to school on time. And the more I think about this, the more I know that long-term I need to steer her towards a field or job where timeliness is not, in fact, any of, is not required.
Yeah. Well, so the question that kind of pops into my head, Melanie, is, you know, it's mm-hmm. like if we start from the macro level and you just share that great story and we get curious and we say, so what's really going on with her behind this whole, I don't believe in being at school on time, which I can just see her saying that. What are three things that might be going on for her around that?
Well, number one, it's back to the separation anxiety. You know, so going to school is saying goodbye to me and ending her morning. Number two, she has this thing about autonomy. Lack of autonomy drives her up the wall. So school by itself is an autonomy, is a difficult zone in which to retain your autonomy, and the transition there is also, it's hard to keep it both in a reasonable pace and under her autonomy. And then the third thing that's going on is that although our medication change is such that she is now supported for executive function at school, in the long range, we need to get a little bit more of that executive function support at home. Because she still has
that. Yeah, that makes sense.
This caught my attention, and this is what I'm going to do now, even if that's not exactly any of the tasks on the straight line to going to school.
Well, and here's the thing. So you know that she's got a distractibility piece of it, and the fourth thing that kind of pops into my head, Melanie, and I'm going to add this to your list if you don't mind, is that she's at a point where she's kind of frustrated with the fact that she can't get her brain to do what she wants it to do, and so this whole I don't believe in getting to school on time is a great rationalization for
Absolutely.
The fact that it kind of stinks that she's having a hard time getting to school on time.
And
we all have kids
that
do that, right?
A consistently difficult thing for her. I mean, it started with difficulty getting to daycare on time.
Yeah.
This is not new.
No, it's not new. And so her one reaction she's having is to just begin to not believe that it's important, because it feels better to say it's not important than to say, gosh, I still can't figure this out, and I've been trying for a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool. All right, so with that in mind, Melanie, where specifically are you taking aim?
So I'm debating. Like, one is getting curiouser with her about what she means by I don't believe in, you know, is she really wanting to push towards, you know, fewer expectations around time points, or is there something else that I can support her with that would make that less difficult? as a concept for her.
So my question is, regardless of what she says on a day-to-day basis, when you observe her, how motivated on a scale of like 0 to 10 is she in a morning to want to get to school on time?
I think the best she can do for getting to school on time is to consider it a favor she is doing to the adults in her life to leave and be somewhere
really
else
not,
during those
she's
hours.
She's really not motivated.
I mean, she thinks school is okay, but she's not really so thrilled with the entire education enterprise and would happily be uneducated.
So how important is it to you that she become more motivated to get to school on time versus just more of a general sort of engagement around being motivated for school generally? And let me say that another way, which is like if she was interested in going to school but it was having a hard time getting there on time, would that be more important to you, or is it more important to focus on getting there on time?
That's interesting. Is this more about what does she need to be able to like school versus what does this, you know, which would then presumably be its own motivating force. Versus
a different motivating force, yeah.
Yeah, versus what is it about getting there at a particular time point?
Because you've got two pieces, right? Because you've got the executive function challenges of the morning and you've got the fact that school is demotivating.
Right. Right. It's being coped with. Part of me is hoping magical thinking that, we're 3 days in, so it's really hard to tell that, but with the medication adjustment making school less boring and less frustrating on its face, that I'm hoping that will translate over time to greater positive feelings towards school.
Melanie?
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge you to get out of your left side of your brain and do this one on the right side of your brain. Are you willing?
I can't cape right and left apart, but we can go intuition rather than head.
Exactly. So just take a deep breath and tell me which one you want to start with today.
I feel like opening up dislike of school in general is just way too big a can of worms. So getting clearer on the time-consuming bits of her morning routine that maybe we could come to an agreement on.
And what you're saying is that you're going to kind of explore mornings, and we talk about the pillow and the bus stop, right? So it's this sort of, you're at this step before you can even decide where your sticky points are and kind of look again and where's the executive function. And one of the things you might look at is motivation. And so you can have motivation there, even if it's not she likes school. You know, she can get an ice cream cone on the way to school if she gets there on time. I mean, I'm making that up, but it's that sort of, you can put in external motivators at her age and then work on the internal motivators as you feel more comfortable kind of opening up the can of worms. Does that resonate?
Yeah. Though external motivators do not work with this girl unless she proposes them. So.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But you can work with her on identifying.
I can work with her on that, and I suspect that it's about having the conversation about what she thinks the sticking points in the morning might be and what we could do to streamline that a bit.
So to bottom line, you're taking aim on. You want me to do it?
Yeah. I'm taking aim on figuring out which part of the morning to troubleshoot. And among the fair game is my own reactions to her being late.
There you go. I love that. Okay. Mornings. Okay. So thank you, Melanie, for
giving
an extended kind of example of taking aim. I think it's helpful.
Always helping. Always glad to, and I could always use the practice.
Who else wants to identify where they're going to take aim next? Everybody gets to do it.
Hi, this is Gail. I think I could use a little help in figuring out where to take aim next. We are still in the medication management portion. We just tried a different dose this week, and my son is feeling like it makes him feel weird, although, you know, I can see the effects of it, and it definitely, once it kicks in, the whole morning changes, and he gets very motivated from the meds, but without the meds, we're getting a lot of, you know, pushback in the morning, and that, like, you can't make me rush. If you make me rush, I'll just go slower, you know, that kind of thing. And so now that he's up out of bed, which is great, just kind of getting through the rest of the morning before the meds kick in could be one thing, or else, you know, figuring out the meds. Or the third thing I could really take aim at is, you mentioned separation anxiety at school. Our departures, we regress all the time back into like nursery school kind of behavior, you know, with like crying and holding on and needing me to go through routines with him. And I just try to build him up, and I would love to get that piece calmer as we separate. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, and that piece is hard. You've got all three of those. I guess the question is there, and you've got younger kids, and so So I asked this question differently with my teenager group, but it's a sort of what kind of buy-in do you have on any of those from your son to kind of have some changes? I mean, is he feel like mornings are rushed? Does he, would he love kind of making transition that separation from home to school less stressful? Which piece of it do you think that
I feel like the more time he has with me that feels quality, the harder it is for him to separate. We have a long ride to school. And so we have that. We built in this, you know, this 10 minutes of me time that he now gets, which he does really like. And it's great. And he even will now notice, like, oh my gosh, look at the time, you know, like we got to get moving. Like, you know, he got up right when he was supposed to, and maybe I didn't get up when I was supposed to. So,
right.
So we're like a few minutes behind schedule. He's actually been doing great. But then when it comes to saying goodbye, you know, he's hanging on to me, and he doesn't get embarrassed. He doesn't mind if it's in front of the whole school, if he's crying and clinging on to me.
I'm going to ask you to do the same thing Melanie did, which is like, let's get out of our left brain, which is the head, and just kind of use our intuition here. So pick one, you know, take a deep breath and go, which one of those three feels like the place to start this week? You said medication management, separation.
The separation feels like a big piece to me right now.
Okay.
And the medication management feels like I need the doctor to be involved a little bit more. So I feel like the goodbye feels like a big one.
Well, and the reality is that it's not that you can't work on both. It's that you want to make sure that you're not overwhelming you or him by working on both. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you can continue to have conversations about the medication piece of it. And then once you feel like he's in a stable place with his meds, then you'll know kind of what your window is in terms of time frame, and then you can start figuring out how to handle that time period when the medication hasn't yet kicked in as a way of, and so that might be the next thing to take aim on next time or whenever. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Lisa, what about you? Where do you want to take aim?
Okay, so my son is 6, so I'm trying to look at him like a 3 or 4 year old. And so
I think I want to try to attack the mornings, but again, I'm also like, well, when you're 3 or 4, you still do need a lot of help getting ready for the day. But I would like him to become more independent. So it's either that or it's the
or what?
Occasional,
I'm sorry, you cut off.
Okay. Or it's the occasional, I'm unprepared for a blow up. You know, he just kind of loses his temper. Something frustrates him. He can't self-regulate. But that depends on the day, depends on the mood he's in. So I probably want to take aim on his morning routine, which would be,
okay.
I just need to be consistent. He's done it before where the reward is.
Hang on a second. I'm going to, can I interject, Lisa?
Yeah.
So the idea of you being more consistent is a solution. And I'm going to, when we're taking aim, I want to stay just one step before solutioning if we can. And let's narrow in a little bit on mornings. And I just want to, before I go there, I want to say something about the blow up and say your instinct is right that, you know, kind of paying attention to the when, where, what might be a good thing for you to kind of just keep in the back of your head and begin to notice. And as we talk about activating the brain today, it's a great example because I've worked
right.
with clients all the time who their kids are blowing up at 4 o'clock every day. And it's like, okay, so this is a brain activation issue. Do they need food? Do they need rest? Do they need space? Do they need exercise? You know, what is it that their brain needs? And so doing some detective work over the blow ups while you're waiting to figure out kind of when to start taking aim on that could be really powerful. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
So let's go back to mornings. So mornings is a macro thing, a big giant thing. So 22 steps from the pillow to the bus stop. What when
right.
you think about wanting him to be more independent, is there something that pops in your head right now that you feel like he might want to be more independent on or is really kind of getting in the way and getting you stuck that might be an easy thing to focus on increasing independence?
It would be any of the steps. We could choose any of them. Okay, you brush your teeth or you change your clothes. We have the reward of there are 4 things that you need to do before you get to either watch TV or play video games for a few minutes before school. And I was really good at keeping to it, and then I kind of let it go because it's so much
yeah.
work every morning to remind him, now we got to do this, and now we got that I just
right.
gave up.
So hang on a second. Again, with the consistency piece of it, so his challenge with the list of the 4 things, right, so is it sequencing and knowing which one to do? Is it getting distracted and he knows what he needs to do, but he's getting distracted and off track? Or is it remembering what he needs to do? Or is it transitioning from one step to another? What is it from an executive function perspective that makes getting those 4 things done independently hard for him?
I actually think it's motivation. I don't want to have to change my clothes. I just want to sit here on the couch. I don't want to have to brush my teeth. I just want to sit here on the couch. So I think it's motivation.
Okay, so starting with motivation is an appropriate place to start, and I'm going to challenge you to stay open to the fact that even with motivation, sometimes these kids have a hard time from an executive function perspective because getting started requires
right.
a lot of executive function, and so you might need to insert yourself into the process at the beginning, and him doing it with one reminder and a tickle fight on the way upstairs might be more independent than you having to remind him 17 times. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's pick one step. So is it about getting, you know,
let's do change
are the 4
clothes.
Steps in order? Change his clothes. Okay.
Yeah.
And
so where
is he right now on independence? Does he do it? Once you remind him, will he go do it? When does he take several reminders? Does he take you standing there to make sure he gets it done without getting distracted? Where is he right now?
He is capable of doing it, but he, of course, will go slow and get distracted. So then I usually step in because we just need to get it done, and I will help him. So I'd love for
so
him.
So does that
however,
mean
–
sorry, go ahead.
However, on a morning where he's really excited to go to wherever we're going, he can change all by himself. He has to be excited about where he's going.
Yeah. So right now, the strategy that is working is when he's motivated, he's able to avoid distractions. Because it sounds like it's a distraction avoidance. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So we're taking aim on distraction avoidance in the morning, specifically when he's trying to get dressed. And one of the things that you've noticed and you're aware of is the fact that when he's got some motivation there, is that he's more able to avoid the distractions. Does that feel like a fair place to start, which is sort of how do I help him avoid them? And does that make sense about kind of why I left it that way without the solution being motivation, but that you're just aware of the fact that motivation helps?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yep. Kathleen, what about you?
We have a neuropsychological evaluation coming up for our son, and I've been trying to think of how to approach that with him. I haven't really discussed
how to let him know about how to let him know about what's going on.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Right.
How aware is he of his diagnosis or his challenges? He's seven, right?
He's seven. Yeah. I don't know that we've really explained it to him. He knows he has lots of doctor's appointments, and he has accommodations at school. But I don't know. I haven't really come out and, like, given them the label, you know, because I guess we're wondering if maybe that is a label or if there's something else involved too, you know. And
Well, can I ask you a question about that, Kathleen?
Sure, sure.
Is it because you're not sure whether he has an official diagnosis, or you're afraid that telling him what his diagnosis will have an effect that you would rather not have? Is it that what's really underneath the label conversation?
Well, I think for a long time that I felt like that wasn't what was happening, you know, and I've done a lot of research and educating myself, you know. And so now I think I'm pretty confident that that is what's going on, you know, because I thought, well, maybe it's anxiety or maybe it's nutritional deficiencies or something like that. And we've kind of addressed everything that I felt was in our control to, you know. And so I'm thinking that is what he has probably. And so I think that was a lot of me coming to terms with it, so that I haven't had really had a conversation with him yet, you know. So
there's kind of two pieces of this, right? Then
mm-hmm,
so there's part
right.
of it is kind of how do you come to terms with how you feel about what's going on for him and get into a place where you feel comfortable with whatever language you're using or comfortable with how you're looking at it or not beating yourself up for not finding it earlier or not blaming yourself because it's genetic or whatever. Kind of, we all have our stories about when our kids go through the diagnosis process.
Right.
And I think that the question ultimately that you're asking is, how do you want to talk to him about what's going to happen with the neuropsych evaluation? And it sounds like you can do that without kind of having an official diagnosis. It sounds like, I mean, how he knows that he's got some other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to try to describe to me in a six-year-old language what's going to happen, how able would you be to do that? I'm not asking you to do it right now, but how able would you be to do that?
I think I would be able to do it. I think I would just tell him that he's going to, you know, answer some questions and play some games maybe and talk to some people.
So what I'm gonna challenge you to do on this one, it sounds like taking aim on talking to him about what's going on is a great place to take aim. And I'm going to give you a little bit of homework if you'll take it.
Sure.
Which is to go out and post on the Facebook forum and ask the question about how different parents, hey, how did everybody talk to their kids about their ADHD or their learning differences or their anxiety or whatever it is?
their challenges, and get some different opinions so you can figure out what's going to make the most sense for you. And then kind of once you've explored some options, then let's talk again about what's important and what's getting in the way and some of that other stuff. Is that reasonable homework?
Sure, yeah. I think also my reluctance has to do with his brother. His brother likes to like kind of pick on him, and I didn't want to give him any ammunition by putting a label on what's happening. I guess that's part of my reluctance as well.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, and so if I can share my answer to your question, everybody's brain is wired different, and I've always talked to my kids about the fact that their brains are all different, and there are things that I'm good at, and there's things that they're good at, and they're different, and there are times that our brains need help. And I'm guessing that your older, the older brother, or I think the brother, has things mm-hmm. that he's good at and things that he's not good at. It's like basketball. I mean, some of you are good at basketball, and some of you are good at running fast, and some of you are good at lifting heavy things, and some of you are good at drawing. And so if you can kind of get down to that, particularly at the young age, it can make a difference in terms of them feeling more comfortable and confident is what I would say. And also know that if you've got concerns about the language, then, you want to work through that as you begin to talk to them about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So how clear are you on where you're taking aim?
Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
Well, and so I took a little bit longer taking aim today just because we're still kind of a few of you are new, and I wanted to kind of make sure we went through this process a little bit. But we're talking today about activating the brain. And the focus, activating the brain is one of the four critical response areas, and it's really the place that we start. And it has to do with the fact that, a large portion of our kids' challenges has to do with what's going on in their brain. And part of that is their executive function challenges. Part of that is their emotion management. Part of that, and as I say, emotion management, a lot of what happens with these kids, because they have challenges with emotional intensity or with emotion management, and we do too, is that, you've got triggers getting involved, and triggers are a big part of what happens that gets in the way of problem solving and collaborating and all those sorts of things we want to be working with our kids on. So we always talk about activating the brain. And so this is about chemicals and hormones and all that other good stuff. So part of this is about medication, and we have a very neutral stance on medication. Some of you are medicating your kids. Some of you are choosing not to. It just depends on kind of what your own personal perspectives are and what your relationship is with your doctor and how you've made those decisions. But we say no matter what, focusing on brain activation is critical. So that means focusing and thinking about exercise and thinking about healthy eating and thinking about getting enough sleep and staying calm and managing triggers and all of these things that we know are important. Because these kids have brain-based challenges, if we don't pay attention to what's going on to keep the brain healthy, then we're missing a huge opportunity. And so we were talking earlier about meltdowns in the afternoons, and that's a great example. It's this family I was working with. It's like, my kid's melting down all the time. I don't know what's going on. And we did a little bit of a trigger journal to notice when are you melting down and what are you seeing is happening and what's underneath it. And they figured out that the kid was getting hungry and melting down. And so knowing that could come back with a strategy to say, okay, we're going to make sure we have snacks in the car so that on the way home we're eating instead of waiting until we get home. And that's just one example. If you notice that your kid's not getting enough sleep, taking aim on figuring out how to help them self-soothe at nighttime so that they can go to sleep on their own. I mean, all of these things are components that we need to make sure that we're paying attention to what's going on in the brain. Not just from a medication perspective, but also from an emotion management and from all these other components. So what comes up for all of you guys around this area of activating the brain?
I think we've This is Kathleen. We've tried a lot of the things. We make sure he gets enough sleep, and we watch his nutrition and make sure he gets exercise. That's huge for him and all that. We haven't approached medication yet, but that's, I think, something we're going to have to look at, because all of this helps a lot, but it's not been enough so far. So that's where we are right now.
That makes sense. And how hard has it been for you to kind of get some traction on the exercise and the nutrition and that sort of stuff?
It's been fine, really. The key thing for us is he needs to play after school, because it's not like, you know, like formal exercise. It's like he plays on the playground and stuff like that. We just need to make sure he plays on the playground after school before we come home, and then that sets us up pretty well for the evening, you know. And I think that helps a lot overall, because sometimes he doesn't get enough recess at school because they'll have him stay in for a few minutes to finish something or something. And so we've taken it upon ourselves to make sure that he gets enough activity, you know, as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
He likes nutritious food too, so that's been pretty easy for us.
Bonus, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Other thoughts?
This is Gail. And for my son with those specific items, I would say food. He's never been a huge eater, and he doesn't always notice when he's hungry. So I do try to keep snacks in the car, but, you know, it's hard sometimes because I think he is hungry, but he doesn't want to eat. And especially now with the new meds that he's trying out, it's even impacting his appetite more. So it's a challenge that's affected by that. But the exercise piece, you know, it's funny. He likes to exercise and be active in certain ways, but he doesn't want to work too hard physically. And he's not interested in being on a team. We had him in martial arts, and then, you know, he would kind of complain about that. And then the program just went away anyway, so it sort of wasn't an issue. But, you know, we've identified a few activities he really likes, and he does like to be physical, but there's not always a lot of time for it, just like the way our setup is, that the distance of our drive to and from school. And so I don't make him do homework in his after-school program. I hope that he will get out and exercise for a little bit on the days he stays for that. And then, but by the time we get home, it's hard to activate the brain to, like, want to do homework because the meds have worn off, you know, and the playtime is gone, and he's done with his, you know, time. Basically, we have to eat dinner and get ready for bed.
And that might be a place, Gail, for you to kind of take aim in the future, is this sort of idea of how do we handle it to, you know, do homework, and you can do it in smaller portions, or you can do it after, you know, after dinner when he's got more energy from food, or, you know, there's lots of different places you can play, but you're describing exactly the challenge, right? So his brain needs to be activated in order to focus on the homework. And by the time he gets home, his brain's deactivated because the medication's worn off. So there's lots of different ways to approach that, but you're describing a really common challenge. The other thing that's kind of coming up for me listening to both of you talk is the fact that all of you have younger kids, right? So this is a perfect age to start holding them accountable and giving them choices. And I think about my kids who are now, well, you know, early emerging adults, right? And so, but when they were young, I had certain things that they were accountable for. They needed to do something physical, but I didn't care what it was. But they needed to make a decision about what it was. They needed to eat protein, you know, at every meal, but I didn't care what it was. It could be a piece of cheese along with, you know, a piece of bread, or it could be whatever else. But it was this sort of idea that it's about eating protein and not about anything specific. So, and even now my kids know, as adults, it's like, oh my gosh, I got to make sure I'm eating something that's protein and not just eating junk all the time, because they notice when they do eat junk that they don't click as well. So again, right. It's just sort of creating the habits as they're younger so that they have them and they know that it's just part of what everybody does. Other thoughts? Okay. I don't know, Melanie or
Yeah, I definitely want to jump in because the things the other people are saying are sparking things for me, and then I also had my own thing. The one thing that I've added to my understanding of activating the brain is interoception, and I will get on the forum and just post a link to some information about that, but it's about how you perceive the inside of your body. And I've come across some exercises for kind of building your vocabulary around how your body is feeling, and that can help kids get a better handle on regulating their hunger, regulating their need to move, and stuff like that. So that's, for me, a really exciting way to build brain activation.
Love that. Thank you. Other thoughts?
My other thought is we're really lucky to have a school that doesn't take kids away from recess time, because the kids who are the least likely to, quote-unquote, earn their recess time are the ones who need it the most to reset. And that needs, you know, I always look at those issues as something to advocate to the school about, because – even if my kid doesn't need it as direly, there's going to be another kid whose parents can't speak up or aren't in a position to, who needs it even more than my kid.
Yeah.
And it's a culture change we all need to be pushing for.
Well, and that's, and you're describing it exactly, which is that as parents we need to find ways to advocate. And you know, I recall very distinctly making sure that it's in 504 plans and IEP plans that, you know, that having – brain breaks and making sure they get physical activity every day is part of the plan. So that's
yeah, I have in ours 504 recesses never to be taken away for punishment or for lack of work completion, and I also have no homework written into our 504 because we have bigger fish to fry.
Lucky you.
I know, but those are worth advocating for.
Yeah, they are. And I think that it'll be, I'm curious, Melanie, to watch as she gets older, you know, how does that morph and what does that look like for an 11 or 12 year old who it may or may not be realistic to have no homework with.
At that point, I'm hoping that she'll be more developmentally ready for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, there's just no point in trying to fight for her to do something she's just not developmentally ready for. And I need the time and energy for other things. Like getting her emotional regulation online.
Yep, absolutely. And so I guess the question is, what are the tools you're using right now from a brain activation perspective?
Exercise, medication, sleep. She's very particular about what she eats, and that's not a fight that I'm particularly into, though she has also heard me say the I don't care what you eat, but it has to have some protein. So she sort of kind of does that sometimes.
and just to put a plug in, there's an article on this site that Jeremy wrote about Jeremy's our third coach. I don't know if you guys know that, but she wrote an article about taking.
Is
her
that
son
the donuts and chocolate milk article?
The donuts and chocolate milk article, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a really good one. It kind of talks about protein, about motivation, and getting your kids to eat things that are reasonable.
Yeah. I had a kid who wasn't eating any breakfast except for a single piece of candy, which was her motivation to take her meds. And then I discovered she loves Rice Krispie treats and was more motivated to take her meds by having a Rice Krispie treat. So now she's getting a Rice Krispie treat every morning, which is, in fact, more substantial than she was eating before. Win-win.
Well, and I'm betting, Melanie, you could get really clever about putting something protein-wise in a Rice Krispie treat and making it work. If I had to guess, you could do something with a chickpea or a something if you wanted to be clever. But I don't know if she'd tolerate that. Anyway, my two cents.
Yeah. Well, we're currently using prepackaged Rice Krispie treats, so that's not an opportunity.
Got it.
You know, protein bars, which are basically Rice Krispie treats dipped in chocolate with extra protein, she totally goes for.
There you go. There you go. Cool. All right. Well, I want to leave just a minute here. If there, I know that we're going to do our wrap-up in just a minute. If there's anything in particular anybody wanted some laser coaching around, I know we've kind of danced around this idea of activating the brain, and we spent some time at the beginning talking about the areas of challenge that you're having and the taking aim. Is there anything that anybody needs specific help on?
This is Gail. I will jump in quickly. To my taking aim thing, if it is the separation, you know, we've tried so many things. Like, do you have a suggestion on how to approach that?
Well, so give me a sense of what's, you know, let's get curious. What are the things that are going on for him that are making it hard for him to let go?
He seems to kind of want to ritualize our goodbyes, and they're like, so specifically, you know, in kindergarten when he didn't want to separate, I would like did something where I was like, I'm going to put some imaginary kisses in your pocket, you know, so I like put a kiss in my hand and put it in his pocket. Well, now, you know, he's in third grade and he's still going like, kissy pockets, mom, kissy pockets, and it has to be six in each one. And you know, and then he started doing this thing where he'd go like, good luck at work, which is very cute. And the first couple of times he did it, he'd be like, good luck at work. And I'd go, good luck at school. And then we'd leave. Well, now it's like he does it in a panicked way. He has to do it. He has to hug me and kiss me and do all those things.
So hang on a second.
And
so for him,
cry.
Yeah, so getting curious. So what are a couple of things that might be going on for him emotionally? Is he anxious about school? Is he just feeling the emotional disconnection from you really significantly? What do you suspect are a couple of things that are going on for him?
I don't think he's anxious about school. I do think he's anxious about disconnecting from me in the moment, but he is the kid who 1 minute later is totally fine and over it. You know, so
yeah. So here's my instinct. It's just, he's telling you what he wants. He wants some ritual, right? And the reality is that you know that he's not really disconnecting from you. He's just going to be in a different place. And whether it's something like, make sure your extension cord is plugged into mommy so that while you're at school, I can feel you and you can feel me, or whether it's doing, you know, 17 kisses and 14 hugs or whatever it is that feels good for him. Is there a particular reason not to honor that sort of ritual that he needs to separate?
It feels babyish to me. It feels mm-hmm. like we should move on beyond it. And it also feels like it doesn't actually comfort him. Like, it feels like he needs it and he gets himself all anxious about it. And the act, the doing of it almost becomes like an anxiety producing thing. So it's like,
It gets more and more frantic, even when I'm doing it. So he's kind of hanging on to the ritual in it, and he gets nervous about letting go of it. So what's coming up for me is figuring out how to engage him in his detective game about different rituals you could try. So let's come up with three different things we could do this week to try, you know, goodbye number one, goodbye number two, or goodbye number three. Or let's do all three of them, you know, and kind of work together to come up with some ideas of things. And maybe one of them is the one he's been using, but it feels like there's some sort of, he's afraid to let go of the pattern and he's feeling your pressure to do that. And I'm wondering whether there's, does that resonate in at all?
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Because these kids are so sensitive emotionally, and it's like if we're like standing there going, oh my gosh, you're in third grade, why are you still doing this thing we were doing in kindergarten? But he doesn't care.
Right.
You know, yeah, I think that's the piece of it, is figuring out how to, you know, tame your own gremlins if that's appropriate, or find something that's more third grader like that would be the new version of six kisses or whatever it is. But if it's not bugging him, I'm going to challenge you to let go of your bugging you. Is that a fair challenge?
Okay. Yeah. Yes. And just to kind of stretch it out, he does it also if I'm just going out at night and he's home with my husband and they're going to have a really nice night together, but still, same thing. You know, so it's not just about going to school. It really is about separating from me.
So, I got to tell you, if I forget to say I love you to my kids when they're walking out the door, they stop and look at me and go, hello, you forgot something. And
right.
That ritual is important to them, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So just kind of try to work with it and let go of my judgment around it.
Well, how would it feel to do that? Okay. Awesome.
I can do that. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah.
And
it's
I just
about,
pop in
it's
here.
About, yeah, I know, Melanie, this is an issue that you've been
yeah,
working on.
Yeah, because my 9-year-old still cries when I leave. Not every time, but whenever she's activated. And that's in the morning. It's at night. She's particularly sensitive to it because I spent 36 hours away from home at the beginning of October.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going to go away. And I'm still helping her get her underwear on in the morning. Like, if she doesn't want to go to school, I am getting her dressed physically, one step at a time.
Yeah.
And I have gotten further by doing my own acceptance work around it because she'll get there when she's ready.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I love that, Melanie. The piece I would add is that it's about getting them to the next level and then the next level and the next level and the next level. So if it's 6 kisses, you know, maybe it's 6 instead of 6 kisses in each pocket, you know, whatever the next level of independence would be. And you
5 kisses in one and 6 in the other.
Well, or what I would say, going back to Gail, back to you, it's this sort of, if you're seeing him emotionally reacting to the separation, you want to help him to calm down, right? It's that sort of focusing on and helping him to calm down so he can let go. Those are 2 different pieces, right? And a lot of times we forget that calm down first, then problem solve about leaving. Trying to do the 2 of those at once make it really difficult for them and for us both. Does that resonate?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
All right. So I want to take us back to the workbook and page, is it 24 or 25? 20, I can't see. The numbers are too small on my version. 25, right? the 4 questions we ask at the end of every call are, and what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's the realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So jot down a few notes, and I would love to hear from all of you at least 1 aha and 1 action item whenever somebody's ready to get us started.
My aha is that I need to put the not liking school on my long-term list. And I already did my action step. I already posted in the Facebook group with the resource I mentioned.
Awesome. Thank you, Melanie.
This is Gail. So my aha is that it is okay for him to react exactly how he's feeling, and I'm going to do that of engaging him in a detective game and coming up with some possible goodbyes, and I'll let him get there when he's ready.
How's that feel?
Feels good. Feels like permission to kind of let something evolve and not stress out over one more thing.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to challenge you to take the 3-5 challenge. I mean, if he was 3 years old, you wouldn't blink about this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard because you look at him and you're like, none of his friends are doing this. What's going on? So take a deep breath. You got it.
Okay.
Lisa, what about you?
I am thinking about the protein. I need to get a list of snacks that have protein in them or just more foods. So that's one thing I'm going to do.
Well, and that's something else you could post on the Facebook forum too. That would be a good
saying you could get some great ideas
because he
from,
doesn't
others on snacks.
Eat much besides chicken nuggets. Okay. and then the other thing has to go back to what we talked about, what I'm the distractions in the morning. Can you actually point me to somewhere that would help me with, okay, the distractions are what keeps him getting dressed in the morning. Is there a resource or someplace I can go to figure out the distraction bit?
Well, I think that the place I would start is to know that right now he's getting distracted. And so you want to go into a detective game, which is, I've got a kid who has distractibility as a challenge. So what are four different things that I could do to help him avoid distractions? You know, is it me checking in every 5 minutes? Is it him getting dressed in the kitchen while I'm getting breakfast on the table? I mean, there's lots of different things you could brainstorm as solutions, but the challenge is an executive function challenge, which is distractibility. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. Kathleen, what about you?
Well, I was going to post about some strategies for talking to my son about the ADHD diagnosis and his neuropsych evaluation. And I will definitely look up the posting the other person was going to make about the interoception, because that's very interesting to me too, because when we thought it was mostly just sensory processing, that was one of his issues as well. So,
Yeah.
Interoception is another aspect of sensory processing. So just to jump in.
Right.
Again.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. Great call. Did I get everybody? I think I did. Great call today. Thank you so much for being here. Next week, you guys check your calendars. Next week is an office hour call week, and then we're back on PSS the week of the last week in October. So thank you all for being here, and use the forum, tag Elaine and I if you have any questions or you need any help, and thanks for being such an engaged group today. I really like the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.